his name, amen. We're going to read now our reading, and you'll find that on the back of your sheet there, or if you've got a Bible, this comes from the NIV. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And we trust the Lord will add his blessing on our reading this evening. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we look into it, you will guide our thoughts, our minds, and our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that whatever we learn, we might be able in some way or another to put it into practice in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that the message is a message that goes around the world. And we've just been thinking very briefly about Brazil. And we pray for that country and pray for the work that goes on in the Amazon basin and schools and churches and the use of Bible time materials. Pray for Alexandra and Giovanna and the work that they do. And pray that you'll give them the strength, the opportunity to use your word in so many different places. We thank you too for Argentina and the desire of Eduardo Schuster to do all he can in spreading the word. And we pray, Lord, for help. Pray that the container might be able to get into the country through the customs with no problems, be able to be distributed around the country in so many different places who have very little materials to use with children. So we pray your blessing upon that work as we thank you that the work continues in Venezuela as well, in South America, in these countries where there's been religion but very little of Christ. And we pray, Lord, that the work might continue and many might come to know him as Savior and Lord. Ask for your help just now as we look into your word, because we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at Luke chapter 11, and the title really is The Lord in Prayer. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Now, it doesn't actually say where that certain place was, but they do believe that the Lord Jesus was on the Mount of Olives. So this is from Jerusalem, the main part of the old city, looking towards the hill, the Mount of Olives. You can see probably there's two towers, two bits that stick up. That is the ridge of the Mount of Olives. Or if you're looking the other way, you're looking down from the Mount of Olives towards the great city of Jerusalem. But just near the sort of highest point of the Mount of Olives, there's a special church. It's called the Church of the Paternoster. which I think in Latin means the Church of Our Father. And when you go there, on the walls, in big letters, these are big panels, there are something like the Lord's Prayer in 140 different languages. So if you look there, I'm not too sure about Baraba, but Cherokee is the language that our lessons are being translated to in Malawi. And if you look on the right, that is Mori, which is a language that I think comes into the native areas of Burkina Faso. And it's all over the world. You can go there and find your own language. It is in English, and folks are very interested that I've taken there to find it in Welsh. And, of course, if you know other languages, they're all there as well. And it's a very interesting place. Why do they think it's there that Jesus gave us this teaching that I read to you? Well, the previous verses are from Bethany, where Mary and Martha entertained the Lord Jesus. We know that very famous story at the end of Luke 10. And Bethany is just one side of the Mount of Olives. So it seems very likely, if Luke is telling us how things happen step by step, that he came to the Mount of Olives, he found a quiet place, and there he started to pray. And that's possibly somewhere near where this Church of the Paternoster is. So Jesus was praying. Two things come to mind as I think about that. The first is this. If I was to ask you this evening, what is the most difficult thing you find to do in the Christian life? We probably would have a variety of answers, but I would not be very surprised if quite a number of us said, in my busy life, with all that I do in my life, I find it so difficult to stop at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day and pray. It seems as though we have that busyness in our lives, and finding that time to pray is so difficult indeed. But we know that that's true, that if we miss praying, we miss so much. And the other thing is this. I remember when I was running camps, and one of our senior tent leaders, having been dragged out of bed every morning of the week for a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock, which is how we started the day at camp, she said, why do we need to pray? When God knows all about our needs, what's the point in praying? And it was at 7 or 7:30 when she asked the question, and I thought to myself, well, there's no easy answer, just it needs a lot of thought about that. And she said, well, you know, the Bible says he knows what we need before we ask, so what's the point in asking? Well, I think one very simple answer is this. We pray because Jesus prayed. And here we have it, very simply. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Luke's gospel is very special concerning prayer. Luke is telling us about Jesus, the human man, the man who was human, who was dependent upon the Father in heaven. And Luke is telling us frequently in various ways how Jesus was dependent upon his Father in heaven, and he prayed. 7 or 8 times, you find in Luke, Jesus prayed. And then he told parables about prayer. And we read one of those just now concerning the man who was trying to knock up the person next door to get some bread. And when Jesus finished that, he says, ask and it will be given to you. It was a parable about prayer. And then there are some principles that he gives too in Luke's gospel. For instance, he says, men are always to pray and not to faint. So the answer very simply is this. If Jesus said that if Jesus wanted to pray and we need to pray too, if Jesus prayed, we should. And what do we do? Well, when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And I have to say that though I was brought up in a Christian home, surrounded by Christian people in the local church and so on, I can't remember anybody in my young years ever teaching me how to pray. I think it was assumed that you have something on your mind and you ask God about it, and that's okay. And in a sense, that is okay. But the disciples obviously felt, as they watched Jesus praying, they needed some help. And they said, well, John the Baptist taught his disciples, so can you not teach us your disciples? And Jesus said, yes. And he then gave what we said just now in various ways, what we call sometimes the Lord's Prayer. I want to say three things about that. The first is this. This is not the prayer that the Lord Jesus would have prayed himself. Why do I say that? Because we said, forgive us our trespasses, or I read this evening, forgive us our sins. And he, very definitely, had no sin. He was perfect. So the Lord did not pray this prayer because he didn't need to pray this prayer. He was perfect. He lived a life with no sin, with no transgressions in any sense of the word. The second thing is this. He made it very clear that in those days, the people who prayed rattled off prayer after prayer, that they did the same thing, same prayer, day after day after day. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he makes it very clear that vain repetition is not required. Not to go and say the same thing day after day after day. And I can understand why the Lord said that. I went to a school in Sherborne, not that far away, of course. And as far as I can remember, every morning, as soon as we got there, we called out our names for the register. Then into the hall we went, we stood up, and eventually the headmaster would come. And then somebody would do a little reading. We maybe have a hymn, one of the old type hymns that they used to sing years ago. And then we rattled off the Lord's Prayer and then back to lessons. And even though it was only a small school, probably about 180 children, I don't think any of us really appreciated what we were saying. It was just vain repetition. And that's the danger, isn't it, with the Lord's Prayer. It needs to be thoughtfully prayed. So very definitely the Lord didn't pray it. We need to pray it very thoughtfully if we pray it. But there are principles here that are very vital. And it's given in Matthew's Gospel on the Sermon on the Mount as well as here. And they're a little bit different. I think which is emphasizing when the Lord taught it here, he didn't say exactly the same words in Matthew because very clearly he didn't want them to be just saying it. He wanted them to think very definitely about what they were saying. So this is a pattern prayer. And it starts, first of all, with one word, Father, which is probably a very, very significant word indeed, because it really means that those people who come to God in prayer come as a child to a father. They come as a child to a father because they have that wonderful relationship of being part of the family of God. Now, some people think that everybody who's born is born into the family of God. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And John 1:12 puts it like this. As many as received him, that's Jesus, to them gives he the power, the authority to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. So the very simple way of becoming part of the family of God is this. We become those who receive the Lord Jesus or accept him and believe in him. We're born again. The Bible uses that phrase, doesn't it? We're a new creation. We've been brought into the family of God. So in a day, in a sense, I have two birthdays. Way back in May, I was born into the Gillam family. And I carry that name for the rest of my days, as part of the Gillam family. But one day, and when I was about 13, I think it was July time, I came into the family of God because I received him as my Savior and believed in his name, and I had the right to call him my Father. And the Lord Jesus is emphasizing the importance of that relationship as he leads them in how and gives them this pattern, this way in which they might pray. And they can come not to a person who they're scared of, not to a person who they're frightened of, but to a father as a child. Sometimes when I'm busy, I'm not too keen when I get the phone ringing on my desk. And I've got a little box that tells me who's ringing. And if I see one particular number, I grab the phone immediately because I know what's going to be said as soon as I pick up the phone. Hi, Dad. My son, who doesn't phone very often, not as often as he perhaps should do, is phoning up and he's speaking to his dad. And in a sense, this is exactly what we have here. A child speaking to, dare I say it reverently, his dad. Because the word there is Abba. And Abba simply means the sort of word that was used of the fathers in that day. Coming to a father, what a wonderful relation that is, and we can enjoy the privilege of that. But then, reverence. Hallowed be your name. The first three parts of this prayer emphasize three particular things. First, our Father, relationship. Secondly, our reverence. Hallowed be your name. And the more I've thought about it, the more I realize it's so easy to be casual and not very thoughtful about how we pray. But we're coming, as we sang in our first hymn, to a king who's seated at God's right hand. We're coming to heaven. And we say with sincerity and with meaning, hallowed, glorious, exalted be your name. It's an aspect of praise, isn't it? And an aspect of reverence as we come to him. And that's important, I think. And whenever I was with young people in days gone by, I tried to emphasize this. Prayer is important, folks. And you come, if you're trusting in Jesus, to a Father in heaven. But come very carefully, because you're coming to a king, to God himself in heaven. You're coming and recognizing, hallowed be your name. And then, your kingdom come, which is, I suppose, referring to his reign. What do we mean by that then? Well, it's looking to the future, of course, and we sing that hymn, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth its successive journeys run, and we know that there is a day when he will reign from shore to shore. But I think this refers not only to the kingdom in the future, but the kingdom that's coming in my heart when the Lord Jesus comes. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And when we come into that family of God, we acknowledge that the king, as it were, is within us. He's come to us. One day it's going to come to the whole world. Your kingdom come. So the first three sentences are about God. And the next sentences are about us. And you can see how that's illustrated here. First of all, give us each day, forgive us, and then lead us. So first of all, we've got a request. Give us this day our daily bread. And you might say to me, well, that's obvious that we don't have a problem with that. We don't need to pray for our bread every day. But there's two things to mention here. The first is this. In those days, employment was very different. And if you were a sort of, shall I say, a laborer, for want of a better word, and you didn't have a permanent job, you would turn up, say, at a building site or a farm or some place where there was work going on and hope that you would be given a job for the day. And when you've been given a job for the day, you were paid for the day's work. And off you went home. But there must have been days when men went out to a farm, to a building site, to other situations where labor was required. They didn't get a job. They came home to the wife with not a penny in their pocket. It must have been very difficult. And we know in the days of Jesus, there was extreme poverty all over the place. So we can understand why they had to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We take it for granted, don't we, almost, though we're very much aware there's a lot of poverty in our country today, and some maybe almost need to pray as the people in that day did. Each day they needed sustenance for their family and funds to buy it or somewhere where they could go and collect some food. But it really shows, secondly, our dependence upon God. He provides all that we need, and we can recognize how important that is. Not just bread in the sense of what we eat, but we need spiritual bread, don't we? We need to feed on the Word of God. And as we feed on the Word of God, we become strong as Christians. If we read it each day and we think about what it means, we're being given the bread of heaven, the word of God, like bread for us, which is so special. Seeking his daily provision and not taking it for granted, we're dependent upon him, mainly for material food, but could be spiritual. When the Lord Jesus was being tempted in Matthew chapter 4, you remember how Satan came and said, make bread for these stones. And he'd been there for 40 days fasting in the desert. And he said this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how important bread was in a spiritual sense for those people in that day. And they needed to ask that. And the Lord Jesus, as he went around, taught. And as we read God's word today, we're being strengthened spiritually. This is, in a sense, the bread of God for each one of us each day. So there was a request there. Give us each day our daily bread. And then it says, forgive us. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Now, this is a sort of confession, isn't it? And I'm sure in this church, if they're going through the prayer book liturgy, at some stage in the early part of the service, there will be confession. And perhaps we sometimes forget that and how important it is. Sin is often described as a debt or a sin or a transgression, and we recognize we need forgiveness. I don't think we're talking here so much about forgiveness when we come to Jesus and we realize that he died for us and our sins can be forgiven. But this is more day by day, because none of us can say we're perfect. We live a good life. We never say anything wrong. We never think anything wrong. We never do anything wrong. Of course we do. And we need therefore to pray each day, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. We know that the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you get an illustration of that in the life of the Lord Jesus. There was a time, of course, in those days when they just wore sandals. The roads were very dusty and they wore no socks or anything like that. And so when they came into somebody's house, their feet were quite dusty and dirty, and there was somebody there to wash their feet. The servant of the house, maybe, would wash their feet. And Peter said when Jesus was coming to him, Lord, don't wash my feet. And Jesus said, no, you've got to have them washed, Peter. But Peter said, well, I've already done so. I don't need that. But Jesus was saying, look, Peter, I've, in a sense, forgiven all your sins. I've given you a good bath, as it were. But you still need every day the soil of the road that you've been walking on removed from you. And we've all become Christians when we trust the Lord Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. Thank God for that. But we still fail, and we need to pray, and we need to ask for forgiveness each day. Forgive us each day as we forgive everyone who sins against us. And that's a very important word, isn't it? Paul says, Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ and God has forgiven you. He says the same in Colossians. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And the great preacher Spurgeon said, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, no prayer is complete without a confession of sin. He knew the reality of that. Forgiveness at conversion, but then we need forgiveness each day, and we need to be able to forgive others who maybe have upset us or disturbed us or distressed us in some way. That's what he's saying. Forgive everyone who sins against us. And we see that in Matthew 6. We see it in Matthew 18, where there's a story of a king who forgave a man a great debt, but the man had a small debt with somebody else, and he put him in prison because of that. And the king said, look, I've forgiven you so much, you must also forgive your servant, your friend, whatever he owes you. And that's the same true for us today, isn't it? God forgives us so that we can forgive others. With just one more sentence in our prayer, And it's really about, we can't expect God to answer our prayers if we have an unforgiving spirit, or communally if there's division amongst us. Finally, our responsibility. Lead us not into temptation. Temptation is an awful thing, isn't it? And we're all very well aware that each of us can be so easily tempted. God doesn't tempt us, we're told. No one should say, says James, God is tempting me. Because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own desires and enticed. We know there's a very powerful influence for bad, for wrong, for evil. Satan himself would take us away into temptation. And as we start every new day, I can understand the Lord saying how important it is to remember that when you have said and done something wrong, to ask for forgiveness, but also to pray that you will not be led that day into temptation. And there's no doubt about it. It comes to all of us so very, very easily. James 1:13 reminds us of the importance of that, as I've just quoted. The forces of evil are a daily battle, but strength of fellowship and the power of prayer enables us to overcome the power of the evil one, because John says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Prayer is a more important part of our lives, isn't it? And the Lord would encourage us to pray in a pattern perhaps similar to this, just bearing in mind the reverence, the relationship we have, and the fact that he is going to reign one day, but then to seek the request of bread, as it were, and to remember the importance of the fact that we need to refrain from evil and from temptation, but also to be restored and be forgiven for the things that we've done. I will move on very quickly to the last quotation, which is this. O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself has trod, Lord, teach us how to pray. And as he taught his disciples, we've just very simply looked at some of the things, the pictures and the patterns that that prayer has, which maybe encourage us each day to pray. And the more we pray, the more we should be thrilled. And it would be a very sad time, wouldn't it, for a father who never hears from his child or from his daughter or his son, because they just don't want to talk to him in some way or some reason, wants to hear from us. And we show our dependence upon our God when we come to him in prayer.